And now a reading from Mark chapter 11, verses 12 to 14. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see whether perhaps he would find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. And verses 20 to 25. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. Then Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass, it will be done for you. So I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Helen, for reading our scripture this morning. Good morning again. And we are starting our new sermon series today for the season of Lent. Lent began last Wednesday on Ash Wednesday, and we came together and had a time of worship that morning and that night. And now we are right in this season preparing for Easter Sunday morning, something we don't want to take for granted. And so we slow down the pace. We focus on our relationship with God and Jesus Christ. We slow down in our own walk so that we can walk with Jesus on his way to the cross, what we remember on Good Friday. We'll be walking through the last week of Jesus' life in the Gospel of Mark for the next 6 weeks. And we've provided resources for our small groups and individuals. If you want to go deeper, Pastor Jeff, Pastor Donovan, and I sat down together and talked about all of these scripture passages together. And those videos are posted on the church website. And anyone's welcome to check those out. We had it was joyful for us to sit together and talk scripture. And I hope that you'll get a chance to check those out. Let's journey to the cross with Jesus these next 6 weeks as one. Would you pray with me? Holy, holy God, we love you. We lift our church to you. We lift the call of ministry that you have placed within our hearts to you. And Lord, prepare us to step into these stories, to step into your word and walk with Jesus as he goes all the way to the cross. Help us to hear what you would have us hear and see what you would have us see. Lord, help us to grow in our faith in this Lenten season and in our trust of you. And may the words of our mouths, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, for you are our Savior, our rock, our refuge, our Redeemer, and it is in your name that we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. Well, one of my friends is a missionary. She has been for about 10 years, and I don't know where she is right now. She's in a dangerous, undisclosed location. And part of being there is taking language lessons so that she can better assimilate into the culture. So she shared recently a story about what happened in one of those language classes that she had. So the teacher has been telling them stories, and the teacher is a local person, not part of their ministry. And he tells stories as a way to engage them and teach them conversational speech. So the story that he told was about someone who was hit, and then the person hit back. And he turned to my friend and said, "That's what you would do, right? If someone hit you, you would hit them right back." And she said, "Probably not." She said, "Just because somebody hits me doesn't mean I have to respond in the same way." And the teacher seemed shocked. He said, "Wow, well, if more people in the world were like you, the world would be a better place." And then he stopped for a minute and he said, "Oh, I get it. This is one of those Jesus things." That sounds like something Jesus would do. And she just smiled and said, yes. And she was so excited about that conversation because it meant that he was able to see something different in her words, in the way that she acted and who she was, that resonated with him about who he had heard Jesus would be. This man's not a follower of Jesus, but wow, right? That he was able to hear, see that fruit in her life, hear it in her words, see it in who she is. She's known him a long time now. And for him to hear her say something and say, oh, I know that's a Jesus thing. How beautiful is that? The fruit of her faith has become evident. That leads us to our story today, which is about fruit. The Gospel of Mark, the 11th chapter in two sections, starting at verse 12. If you've got your Bibles with you or Bible apps, I invite you to turn to that passage. We'll spend our time there this morning. And while you're finding that text, let me tell you a little bit more about the Gospel of Mark, since we'll be spending the next 6 weeks in it. This gospel is the first of the four, the earliest, written around 60 to 70 AD or CE. It also was a pivotal text because then Matthew and Luke used Mark as a source when they were writing their respective gospels. The action in Mark moves quickly. You'll notice that. The Greek is a little bit rough as well. It's the shortest of the gospels, and we see in Mark a more human side of Jesus. Jesus, we believe, is both fully human and fully divine. In the Gospel of Mark, you see a little bit more of that human side. In the Gospel of John, you see a little bit more of that divine side. And in Matthew and Luke, it falls somewhere in between. So today, we start with an odd little story. It is not in the lectionary. It is not usually read in worship. It is not normally the subject of a sermon. So why in the world did we pick it? Well, we were starting right here after Jesus enters Jerusalem in the last week of his life, and we figured, right, it's scripture. We need to start right there where the passage starts. So we didn't want to miss anything. So we're going to start with this odd little story about a fig tree. And in the story, Jesus is hungry and seems a little bit cranky. That fits with the Gospel of Mark, right? We see a little more of the human side of Jesus. So Jesus spots a fig tree in the distance, and it has leaves on it. Pastor Jeff says that Jesus is not only hungry, he's hangry. And Jesus goes to check out the fig tree. Figs were a common food back then. People ate them fresh, they ate them dried, and there's nothing quite like a fresh fig. My grandfather had fig trees in his orchard, and I'd go walking with him, and he'd pick them right off the tree in season, rub it off on his shirt, and hand it to me to eat, and they were delicious. There is nothing like a fresh fig right in season. Except that in this story, figs are not in season. When Jesus goes to check out the tree, he doesn't like what he finds. He doesn't see any fruit on it and curses the tree. It seems a little harsh, right? To curse a tree for not having fruit in the season when it's not the season for the fruit to be there in the first place. It's kind of like cursing an apple tree in Virginia in March for not having apples on it. Nevertheless, that's what Jesus does. The next day, the disciples and Jesus are out walking, and they see that same tree, and it's dead now, down to its roots. And Peter points it out. Jesus responds then by talking about the importance of belief, bold belief and faith and prayer and forgiveness, and lifts up the importance of fruit like that. What do we do with this odd little story? First, I want you to notice where it's placed in the Gospel of Matthew and notice what's around it. There's another story that is woven into it between the cursing of the tree and finding it dead, Jesus enters a temple. And he doesn't like what he finds there either. When he goes into the temple, he throws over the tables of the money changers and drives out those who are buying and selling. He says the temple is to be a house of prayer, but they've made it into a den of robbers. And the religious leaders resolve to kill him when he points all that out. These two stories seem unrelated, but they are intentionally interwoven and connected. And the more we unpack one, the more we can understand the other because they help interpret each other. Jesus is looking for fruit that day. Fruit on a fig tree and fruit in the temple. And he doesn't find it in either place. And he's cranky about both. Neither one is bearing fruit in this season. And Jesus reacts to it. He doesn't like the way the temple is being run. People were looking to that temple sacrificial system to save them and cleanse them from sin. You could say their focus was not on God, but on the system itself and meeting the rules of it. You could say that it had become a mercenary, money-changing buying and selling of doves and animals and grain for forgiveness purposes. And there wasn't much fruit in that. And was it genuine anymore? And the poor were being exploited in the midst of it. And Jesus didn't like that either. We could look at churches today and realize if we as well get too focused on money, we've got problems too. It means that our focus is not on what we are about, right? We would have lost Jesus at the center of it all. And it's good to be aware of the church's financial practices like we shared earlier today, but that's not what we are ultimately about, right? That's not our focus. And I thought it was ironic that we had planned to share the financial situation today on the same Sunday we had planned to read this text. That seemed just a little ironic. And I thought God has a good sense of humor, or it's God's way of having a big reminder for us of where our focus needs to be. That if we're too focused on the money or the financial things, then we're not being who we're called to be. And we don't have our focus in the right place. Because our focus needs to be on Christ at the center of it all. And if we've lost sight of that, we're not bearing any fruit either. The money changing that was part of the system of sacrifice 2,000 years ago had gotten somewhat corrupt. And Jesus' reaction to that is also a way to mark that the season is about to change. Because it's no longer the season for a sacrifice-based temple system. Not with animals and grains anyway. But now based on the sacrifice of Jesus. It's a big change at the center of it all. It's a new season, a new understanding, a new covenant, a new way to begin to have this relationship with God in Jesus Christ. That season is beginning. And it's starting now in a new way in this week as Jesus begins that walk to the cross. The fig tree is a symbol for the temple. You get that? That's how these two stories help us interpret one another. And the fig is like a symbol for us. Let me explain a little bit more. You may know that Pastor Jeff has a degree in theology. He also has a degree in horticulture. And when he and Pastor Donovan and I were making the videos for this Lenten series, Pastor Jeff told us more about fig trees than we ever wanted to know. So raise your hand if you've ever heard of a fig wasp. Have you heard of a fig? Well, y'all are smarter than I am. It was news to me. A fig wasp is a tiny insect about the size of a mosquito or an eyelash, and it is crucial to the life of a fig tree. And a fig tree does not bear fruit without a fig wasp. The wasp carries the pollen that is needed and bores into the center of the fig with it. That's what pollinates the fig and brings about the fruit. However, crawling inside the fig harms the wasp. It tears off the wings and the antenna, and the wasp ends up dying inside the fig. So the wasp essentially gives its life for the life of the fruit. Do you get that? Do you see how that kind of brings it all together? The fig wasp is like a symbol for Jesus. Who knew? Horticulture, right? The fig wasp is like a symbol of Jesus. Think about this. I'm thinking of John 15. That's where my head goes. When Jesus says, without me, you cannot bear any fruit. Or John 15:5, which says, those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is like that fig wasp. Without him, we cannot bear fruit either. Jesus enters the temple, right, to cleanse or pollinate it, so to speak, so that it can produce fruit. And he, like the fig wasp, dies within the hands of it, within the hands of the religious and political leaders, in a sacrifice of himself for it. And Jesus enters our hearts too, to pollinate us, so to speak. Bear with me. What I mean by that is only Jesus can satisfy that longing in our souls and fill us, and dies to give us that life that we might bear fruit to. We can't do it without him. A fruitful life of faith depends on Jesus being at the center of it and nothing else, for us as individuals and as a church. So we, like the fig tree or the temple, do not have a fruitful life without him at the center. That takes us to those final verses that Jesus says. In the temple, he had said it was to be a house of prayer for all. And he starts talking about prayer again at the end. And he says faith matters. Big, bold, deep faith matters. And we pray with that big, bold, deep faith, that belief matters, trust matters, forgiveness matters. And so we pray boldly, knowing that God can do anything. Even bring Jesus back from that cross that he will face at the end of this week. Jesus wants us to believe boldly in something as crazy and incredible as a resurrection, as crazy and incredible as moving a mountain, that's possible in the power of God. This is what fruit looks like, that we learn in these stories interwoven between the temple and the fig tree, that fruit with Jesus at the center of our lives matters. So what do we do with this odd little story? When I think about it, I want to ask myself, what's the center of me? What's at the center of you? Whatever it is will come out in fruit that we bear or we don't. Wouldn't it be wonderful for us to be in conversation or relationship with someone in such a way that they would see Jesus in us? And they would say, oh, that's a Jesus thing. I see it in you. So one way to sum up this passage is to ask that our lives be a witness of him. Be a fig, okay? Be a fig. Let Jesus, like that wasp, be at the center of you, so that his sacrifice on the cross for you, for all of us, will bring forth fruit. The fruit of faith, the fruit of forgiveness, the fruit of belief, and more. Because as we saw in our Focus 2030 vision, when the hungry are fed, the harmed healed, the broken saved, what is dead brought to life, enemies reconciled, the sinner forgiven, the outcast included, the lonely made family. People who are hit don't retaliate. We know God's work by the fruit it produces. Amen. That's the fruit that we can see. And yes, that is a Jesus thing. So may our lives bear fruit worthy of his name. Be a fig, brothers and sisters. Amen.